Yeah, we anticipate that Christian will still snap. It's just you try if you have the available spots on your roster. Sometimes you do. In Ray's world, you're gonna look towards the next year if a guy that you could see potentially be a competitor for you, a guy that can come in and be a viable part of your competition at a position, and you get an opportunity to get him, you can go ahead and make that move. No, and yesterday was tough because we didn't do much. It was more of a just being 2 days out from the game. It was more of just a teaching walkthrough type thing. So we didn't do a lot. Some light individual work, and then the offense and defense never came together. It was all separate walkthrough stuff, self-serve. So didn't do much. We'll know a lot more today. I know Brian is feeling better, but that's a relative thing. I just don't know if it'll progress to that he feels confident in time. Him to go out and execute, do his job. I mean, it's. I think we need to build a smart plan around it. It's still, our formula for success won't be different than what it's been before. We're not a team that's built on spreading people out and getting five out on the route and throwing drop back passes every snap. So our success will be predicated on if we can run the football, run, play, pass, manageable third downs. To me, he's, it's a lot to ask a guy that's been playing offense off of cards ever since the preseason. So for this week rolls by pretty quick. If we've got to scale some things back, we will. But we'll expect him to go out there and execute to the best of his ability. He was on point. I mean, here's a guy. It's not like he hasn't been here. I mean, I think if we had thrown Tyler in there and said, "Hey, here's all of it," then there would have been some struggles, which was never thought to be the plan. So the fact that Connor's been in there and he's a bright kid. He studies. I mean, he had a pretty good handle on it. A couple of hiccups here and there, but that was as to be expected. Probably a little bit of both. I think all rookies kind of go through. It's rare that you have a rookie like a Joel Bitonio that comes in and it's seamless. Sometimes we have guys that, for whatever reason, they have a brother that was in the league or a good friend. They're somehow just better prepared for it. But most rookies are typically shocked by the speed of the game, by the challenge that it brings. That you're going from. Being a college student and football is essentially a part-time thing where this is your 9-to-5 plus. You might as well carry a briefcase. I mean, it's your job. And it does, I think, probably shock more guys than it doesn't. It's not his ability, but it's a lot of the little things. It's how he prepares each week. It's just a lot of stuff that's internal, and our guys see it. And that's why it's, whether it's a Dansby or a Whitner, they see that if he didn't have the ability, if he didn't have the potential to kind of live up to the hype, live up to where we took him, then I think our guys wouldn't really deal with him. But the fact that they see how good he can be because he's shown it in flashes, that they know he just has to be more consistent. And a big part of his consistency needs to come from just being a pro. And our guys see that, and certainly the coaches see it, but it's being reinforced by the players as well. I'm confident. Very much looking forward to a very productive offseason, not just for Justin, but for the team, but for him especially, an acceleration in his in the maturity part of it, and I'm confident that we'll see a better Justin Gilbert next fall. I mean, what does it say? What do you mean? What does it say? I mean, are we ready to write both those players off as busts because they didn't produce as rookies? I mean, I'm not anywhere near that point. I think that's just a knee jerk. Some rookies come in and play right away, and others it takes some time. I have no problem with it. I don't. We're in the whatever it takes business, and if it takes for that to happen, and our guys are confident. And saying that because what they're saying publicly is no different than what they're saying to the kid. So it's not like they're trying to communicate with him through the media. And I'm the same way. I can sit here and say some things about him because it's nothing different when I've sat him down in my office and looked him in the eye and said the same things to him. So I think as coaches, you have to learn what motivates your guys. And everybody's different. You can't broad stroke it. you can't try to coach everybody the same. Part of being a coach is putting on that teacher hat, that psychologist hat. And, you know, what motivates you might be totally different from what motivates you and what motivates you. So that's part of what we have to do as coaches is learn how to do it. And we're hopeful that this quote-unquote tough love will be beneficial for Justin. Yeah, I mean, and I said it then. I mean, you're just a couple Sundays away from being a Coach of the Year candidate to being, you know, Village Idiot Hall of Fame candidate. So, to me, it's been a roller coaster ride, and just as expected. And it's been tough because, as I said the other day, you're gauged ultimately on how do you finish. What's the end result? And we got a chance to get to 8-8. That's the best we can do. And for us, that's disappointing because we know we left some wins out there. So that's something it's part of the learning process. We feel we're building this foundation the right way. And I referenced it before that we live in a society of it's especially in sports. Instant gratification. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to win right now. Nobody wants to hear anybody say, well, it's going to take time. It's a rebuilding process. Nobody wants to hear that. We don't want to hear it. We want to win, but at the same time, understand that we want long-term sustained success, and we need to make sure that we build it the right way and slowly and make sure that foundation is solid. There's no doubt in my mind. I get together with Jimmy for a minimum of an hour every week. We are very much on the same page as far as our vision for this team moving forward, our vision for the team today, our vision for the team this weekend, our vision for the team moving forward. Yeah, I can't speak on going forward. We're you know, all hands on deck for Sunday, and we have plenty of time to assess. We'll go through. We'll take some time off as coaches. We'll get together with the personnel staff early in January and go through the roster A to Z. Just to, you know. Prioritize needs, rank it, look at available. I mean, you look at everything, but just still with a game to go, it's it'd be unfair to sit here and try to talk about a position for next year. I don't see it that way though. I mean, maybe it can be looked that way on the outside, just knowing the chances that the opportunities that we had, and to me, just how we finished our November and December, even if we do win, it's still a disappointment anytime you have a month or a stretch where you're losing consecutive games. I mean, it's, you know, what is it, five of our last six, four in a row? That's frustrating. We want to, you know, we're going to do everything we can for it to end on a positive note, on an upswing. But it's frustrating to know that 8-8 is the best we can do when you know, 6 weeks ago that we were in a much better position. It's a lot of factors. Number one is you got to stay healthy, and that's you know, injuries can just decimate a roster. In 2006, I was in Baltimore, and I think we were either 13-2 or 12-3. I think we had one starter miss four games to injury. I mean, it was some ridiculous number that we, you know, our starting lineup week 17 was the same as opening day, and when you look around the league, you know, unless you've just built incredible depth over time. That's rare that happens. So I think it takes some luck. You know, you have to all your support areas have to be on point, whether it's your strength and conditioning, your training room to keep your team as healthy as you can. But when guys are breaking legs, and I mean it is unfortunate, but when you have a rash of injuries like that it is hard to finish strong. But I think that's something that it's mature teams. I mean, guys that can they know how to take care of themselves, take care of their bodies, but be professionals off the field. Because over long term, I mean, that's when you get into late November, December, teams that are fresh and focused, those are the ones that can be successful. But it's a lot of things, and with a little bit of luck mixed in, is you know, finishing real well. Yeah, I got a whole list. I just haven't put it together yet. Do a lot of things different. Made a ton of mistakes. I admit that, and it's all stuff that. Critical for us as a staff to look at, or us as an organization, and put it all together, do our own self-scout, our own audit post-year. We do one every week. We'll do one at the end of the year and get those locked in to make sure that they don't happen again. Yeah, what I said, just coming into a program, and you want to make sure that all the areas that touch football are on point. So I think I spent maybe an inordinate amount of time this year, you know, whether it was equipment, football ops, just all, you know, training room, weight room, all that stuff that has a direct impact, equipment on our guys, making sure those were all set up, headed in the right direction, as opposed to just immersing myself just in, you know, what my comfort zone is, which is defense. So we spent, you know, a little bit more time with Kyle, and then also some of those other areas. I could see next year where if I'm comfortable with how things are up and running, it just always takes so much to kind of get something started, and then once it's up and running, then you can just fine tune as you go. So I could see spending more time next year in football. I'd hope to. It's tough because a lot of guys usually it takes a little bit of time when they first start to play well. But Betonio, I know, was a guy that's played at a high level all year. That I've gotten a lot of comments from opposing coaches, guys that I know that have watched the tape and just see how good a player he is. But other than that, I don't think there's any. I know Whitner was an alternate. Other than that, I don't think any name jumps out. I mean, you look at the guys that went last year and missed significant time for a lot of reasons, so you didn't have to worry about whether it was Josh going back or Jordan, guys that went last year. And for the three guys, I'm thrilled for all of them, but that's a special one. Just that here's a guy that was undrafted. To go from undrafted to make a Pro Bowl was such an accomplishment. I know somebody told me it's the first time in Browns history since, what, 24 years? Or somebody said it's 24 years since somebody undrafted with the Browns had made it to a Pro Bowl. So, and to me, it's so well deserved. And he was absolutely thrilled. And you know, typical him, you know, just wanted to thank his teammates, his coaches. You just see the kind of kid that he is. And Joe Hayden is, for what we've asked him to do this year, you know, to cover the better receivers without much help. And he's, as in typical Joe fashion, has done it with that big smile on his face. And then I told Joe Thomas that they're going to change the name of the, you know, they're going to change it to the Joe Thomas Invitational or the Pro Bowl, you know, Joe Thomas and Friends Pro Bowl. I mean, that says something too. Here's a guy 8 years in the league, 8 Pro Bowls. No other offensive lineman, I think, has started their career that way. It's the definition of consistency, not just but consistently superb play. I mean, has a handful of minuses every game, and some of those probably, I know Mo grades him tough. I know some of those probably aren't even deserved.